can burp bubbles. Slowly the kangaroo looks at one of the bubbles that's floating away across it. You should take a video of this, and we should claim that Zuckerberg secretly mixes dishwasher soap into drinking water because as a child he was never allowed to have bubbles. But that's complete bullshit. And so? But there's no more fact-checking. Well, that's true. I burp yet another soap bubble. The kangaroo videos while I do this. Maybe we should rewatch the Zuckerberg video. I thought it was quite funny with the bubbles. I don't mean as a way of vomiting, but there was an interesting piece of detail that I want to point out. So we rewatch the video one more time. Hi, everyone. The multi-million dollar.
I started building social media to give people a voice. Schon bei dem Satz würde jeder ernsthafte Fact-Checker
with that sentence, everybody would have hiccups. Is that what you mean? No. Forget what he says. All of that is Orwellian double-thinking. Freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength, fact-checking is censorship. No, the secret message is on his arm. It's hanging on his arm. His watch. Yeah, and so? It costs $900,000, the kangaroo says. Do you know why he wears it? Imagine you're the third richest man in the world, but you feel the need to produce a vomit-inducing video in which you metaphorically lick the shit of Donald Trump's shoes and you say, "It tastes great. I always wanted to do this, but the others let me do this." But to prove to everyone that you're not one of those poor victims that has been pushed into the locker as a child, you wear this $900,000 watch. Cringe. Yeah, this is what the youth invented this word for. Well, maybe he sort of always wanted to do it like this, I suspect. It's probably cheaper for him. You know, some of the digital oligarchs now finally feel brave enough to let their masks fall. The kangaroo scratches its nose. You're probably right. Probably Zuckerberg was always an ass. You sort of have to hope for him. Imagine you're this super nice guy and you just accidentally ruined the planet. That would weigh me down. The kangaroo looks at his cell phone. Look at your video of blowing bubbles. Somebody is commenting that you're not supposed to vomit up dishwater soap because when you vomit it up, this can go and enter your breathing streams. I look at him with quite shock. Haha, funny. You could have suffocated. That's sort of like medium funny. But don't worry, it's only facts. Facts don't matter anymore. Isn't there a metaphor in that? And I burp yet another bubble up. No, I don't think so. No, there is. The dishwater soap is a toxic, polarizing garbage that influencers produce, that social media then references and represents the vomiting of it up, and that's what we're suffocating on. I mean, maybe I was wrong.
Never underestimate the ability of a small artist to find a metaphor in everything.
Maybe it was a simile as well.
No, it wasn't. For similes, you need to be the right guy.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, I really wanted to see the sitcom, but nobody dared to make it. So I asked Bernd Kissel if he would like to draw it. Welcome to Mars. And for this, you really have to see the images now.
What the hell?
Well, I thought it would be good to not live that far apart.
Nice. Are you one of those guys that when they come to an almost empty movie, they sit in front of the other guy?
I always go to the cinema alone. And if I want to go, I just buy one. And I'm not even
put it into my taxes. Well, if I want to go, I let it build and tear it down after.
If I want to see Titanic, I hire the two and let actors and let them play it on my personal yacht.
Well, and I brought Matt Damon so he can play, if I'm bored, play The Martian for me. Hey, I'm Matt Damon.
Hey Matt.
Falls ihr euch gefragt habt, wer ist die Sympathiefigur dieser Geschichte?
Wondering who's the sympathetic guy? It's Matt Damon.
Es ist das Jahr 2035.
It's the year 2035. The RS-3 are on Mars, but no, there's an accident. I'm almost dying. The others go away. Well, not now, Matt. Not now, Matt. Go back to your room.
Okay.
Honestly, I think the guy doesn't really like me and is only here because I pay him.
But you're such a nice guy.
Everybody likes me.
Traurige Pointe.
A very sad punchline.
Mal ein bisschen weiter.
Let's keep going. Puck, puck, puck.
Is that really necessary? What are you doing this for?
What that's for? It's my barbecue area and your barbecue area. Okay, done.
Fertig, aber ich könnte hier.
Done? But I could just walk around your fence.
I think you could even climb it if you wanted. But that's not what it's about. The fence is a social convention. It's a symbol. It has meaning because we give it.
And what's the meaning we give it?
Well, just think, this fence is longer until it's on around the entire planet, and this side is mine and that side is yours.
But then my side is smaller than yours. That's, it's not really a half, it's a lie.
You have a lot more land than you could ever really use. Why do you care if you have a square mile more or less?
You have more money than you could ever use. Why do you care if you have a billion more or less?
Touché.
Aber weißt du was, tatsächlich
you know what? I don't really care about money.
Und der war gut.
Nice joke.
Was war das?
What was that?
All set, melde dich.
Was kann ich für Sie tun, Meister? What can I do for you, Master?
What was that rocket?
Matt Damon used the escape pod to return to Earth.
What? Without my allowance? Why did you keep him back?
Well, apparently you were right. He really didn't like you.
But what am I doing now every evening?
I could come over for dinner. But I would need a door in my fence. I could also walk around it.
Don't you dare.
Das Känguru kommt
zu mir. Kangaroo comes into the kitchen and shouts, Elon Musk, on his personal propaganda platform, he compared himself to the Rebel Alliance, and someone answered, dude, you're the most rich person on the planet. You are farting on your own billionaire's medium. How do you think you are part of the rebels? You are the empire.
Are you this someone?
Doesn't matter.
And did you just say fart?
Well, yeah, on Twitter they were tweeting and off X you are farting.
Who says that?
Ich.
I. This is my idea and I think it should come into the common language.
Oh, yeah, I'd like that.
Wie geil wäre das, wenn man das in den Nachrichten.
It would be so nice if they said that on the news. We need another public image of the cities. Farted the Chancellor Friedrich Merz.
Worauf ich hinaus wollte,
what I wanted to say is the commentary really hits the nail. They always pretend, so Big Tech pretends to be the Rebel Alliance, but they are the Empire. I assume there's a tyrant now. Yes, absolutely. Buckle up. And actually, I installed a buckle to the kitchen seat, which I now use. The kangaroo looks so stupidly. It will warm my heart for weeks. It says, you were at the beginning of a tirade and you wanted to prohibit some things. Oh, quite the contrary, honey. I'm not entering that trap. I do not want to be called a censorship fan by the technocrat oligarchy. I don't want to prohibit anything. The platforms, they are prohibiting, they are strangling posts I want to allow. Okay, I'm curious. Let's begin with something that you will like, a no-brainer. Yeah, especially in the morning, I really like those. Outlinks. What? It sounds like the best new sci-fi series on Paramount Plus that nobody can watch because nobody has Paramount Plus.
Sounds like an old ChatGPT prompt by someone from the leftist party. Is it out to vote for left? And what can we do? And what's the answer?
Well, the Putin friends, girlfriends have to go away from you and don't talk about migration as a crisis, but stay at your at your core topic. That's not the part of what we are talking about. That's what the leftist and links, it's the same word in German, have in common. Anyway, you might have noticed that the big platforms and the links that would put you outside the platform, they are reduced or maybe even prohibited entirely. Yeah, that's really annoying. And you want to prohibit that? No, the tech concerns prohibit outlinks. I want to allow them. Prohibiting a prohibition is allowing. Didn't you listen? I'm asking. The kangaroo takes away my phone that, without me doing anything, went from the table to my hand and opened TikTok to marinate my brain in brown sauce. And as soon as I'm not looking at the display, I'm suddenly feeling better. Anyway, the digital oligarchs imprison us in their platforms, and that secures their monopolies and really hurts the journalistic. And they are fighting for the public attention, and they don't only have to provide their services for free. It's even more difficult to even link to their own portals. Compared to the big platforms, the whole other internet is turning into a digital cemetery. Nobody is visiting anymore. The platforms suck up all the traffic, and all the advertisement and money that's in them is also gone, and so they are having a tax on everything that's sold in the net. They are parasites that suck out the money from real and everyone is subject to their whims. The phone again jumped into my hand. This time the kangaroo does not put it back on the table, but into its pouch. And some platforms have weird workarounds, like link in the bio. It's like asking someone where to go, and they say, well, the way is in the dictionary. A link is not an Easter egg you have to look for. The idea of a link is that it's there where you need it, not in some stupid bio or doobly-doo. Well, some people are even not willing to do two clicks. Yeah, and those who are willing to are then in the in-app browser. You see the World Wide Web, but are still in the digital prison. If you make a bottle post from a bio soft drink, then you could say there is a link in the bio. bottle. Well, concentrate. The outlinks are just the tip of the iceberg. It's just a low-hanging fruit. There is no reason why politics could not really say, demand certain things. I wonder if the kangaroo notices if I search for my phone in its pouch. Then I'm suddenly afraid. Or surprised.
I think I'm addicted. Everyone's addicted. Everybody's been made addicted. That's a different problem. I'm a big fan to the right of links. And links and left is the same word in German, so this is a beautiful word game that he's doing that we are unable to translate properly. Lots of tech oligarchs are fans of right rather than links because they don't want to have fact checkers and pay taxes, but maybe Zuckerberg should instead watch his pimp Rolex and check his $900,000 watch is 5-2 fascism. I took a piece of bread and I keep swiping up with my thumb, but it does not give me the same kind of kick.
Oh well,
my little goldfish, I see I've exaggerated your attention span. Just remember, big tech is not the rebel. We are the rebellion, and we have to figure out the vent through which we can explode the Death Star. Thank you very much.
Was ist das eigentlich?
What is this? This is a Riesling of the House Reichsgraf from Kastelstadt. 100 years it's been stored in the deep sea. It was brought up by robots and to Mars with me. Tastes disgusting. That's true.
But
someone has to drink it. Did you ever ask yourself why people don't like billionaires? The people don't like us? Some of us, some claim that we shouldn't exist, that we should be dismantled. Well, maybe they don't find it quite sympathetic that the richest sort of take the food of the people of the poorest and they die. Well, I mean, but only poor people die. Not even the poor like the poor. That's why they wouldn't vote for us. You haven't been elected. Well, I mean, that's beside the point. Well, maybe they don't like that philanthropy of billionaires sort of is more about financing think tanks that then taxes the poorer and makes the richer richer. Wrong. Maybe they find it too extreme that the richest 100 own more than the poorest half of the population. It's just, you know, jealousy, envy. That's a bit sad that they can't really let us have it. They are begrudging us. It's really sad. I mean, they should just be happy for us. I mean, all of us are really kind of nice guys, right? Well, if we're honest, not everybody's as down to Mars as us. True. Zucker Dwarf, for example, sometimes has more than me. I don't really like him. I hate him. Imagine you would have made your money with a tool as bad as Facebook. He does not deserve his money. And what does he do with it? He doesn't even go to Mars. Disgusting. No man on Earth needs more than $200 billion. Well, you're the first human that put his foot on Mars. How does that feel to know that with a Sharpie you have written your own name into the books of humanity's history? Is this as great as I imagine? Well, if I'm honest, I did not pay attention when we were landing.
And
Matt Damon actually exited before me.
Ärgerlich, huh?
Ugh, that's a bit annoying. little.
Und wer macht den Abwasch?
And who's going to do the dishes? Oh, I don't want to do it.
Ich geb dir eine Million, wenn du den Abwasch
machst. I'll give you a million if you're doing it.
Gib dir zwei, wenn du ihn
machst. I'll give you two if you're doing it. For three, I'd do it. For three, you'd do everything. Wouldn't you do the dishes for three? Well, of course, everybody would do the dishes for 3 million. I'll do it for two. Well, I'm not going to give you 2 million for doing the dishes. I'm not crazy. I mean, that's so much more than a houseworker would get. What does she get for doing the dishes? Well, maybe $1,000. So little.
Max.
Why didn't you take your employees with you? Why? What would keep them from turning themselves into masters on Mars? Well, I mean, you'd just get employees to keep them in check.
Brilliant. Bewaffnete Knechte.
Brilliant.
Es gibt dann so elektronische Halsbänder, die man nicht abnehmen.
Weaponized servants. I mean, you could like put like little like electrifying collars around them. I've experimented with them, but the people were really like in a foul mood. Yours too? Well, it was kind of funny, like to kind of see them being like all jittery when I pressed a button on my remote control. And how they looked so surprised every time. Even after the 10th shock. But I was always really afraid that I would lose the remote.
Same.
Hier ist ein Zitat vorangestellt.
Now comes a quote. I know you believe that you understand what I said, but I'm not sure if you really comprehend what you just listened to is not what I mean. ChatGPT.
Pass mal auf, sei ich.
Okay, listen.
Sagt das Känguru.
I am.
Blickt aber von seinem Buch.
But it's looking up from his book.
Handy vor den Mund und sage, ChatGPT,
I'm putting the mouth in front of my phone. ChatGPT, please tell me an authentic anecdote about Mark Uwe Kling. The chatbot counts for a few minutes and then expose. And then when Mark Uwe first offered the book to a publishing house, all he wanted was it to be published. The publishing house, however, said that you would need to read the audiobook yourself. Kling was hesitant because he does not have professional experiences as a speaker, but agreed to this.
Was soll das? Fragt das Känguru.
What is this? And falls silent. Is it really this bad that you need a chatbot for your own memory? No. So, there's two problems with this story. First, none of this is true. And secondly, it sounds so plausible that nobody's going to question whether or not this is true who wasn't part of it. I, for a moment, was wondering whether or not this actually happened.
So you mean it sounds so possible that it is seems possible?
True, chatbots hallucinate a lot, but a lot of people don't understand the actual extent of this problem. Chatbots, depending on the subject matter, just hallucinate about 40%. So 2 of 5 answers are basically bops based on bullshit. But you just don't get it, because anybody who's in the public eye can just ask for an authentic anecdote about themselves. And when it sort of spreads bullshit about you, and then you really understand the clusterfuck on a completely different level.
I understand.
The problem would be a lot smaller if the chatbot had claimed Mark Uwe Kling wrote the Kangaroo Chronicles, after participating in a poetry slam in the Desert Gobi, where famous actors were also part of it, and he was sipping drinks from the cacti, not knowing that they were giving him hallucinations, and then a couple days later, between China and the Mongolia, the Lord an angel of the Lord dictated his first book to him. All the other books basically was made from ABC soups, ABC noodle soups, and then he would cook them and add them and throw them into a quantum computing system and output the book. And nobody would believe this.
Well, I mean, some people in the US might.
The kangaroo says,
with this story, you could probably create a cult, quite successful one.
That's a plan B. Great. Thank you so much for this idea.
You're welcome.
Well, LLMs don't just spread untruths. They spread believable untruths. And I would like to add a third sentence. A chatbot lies because it has no idea what it says. It's only a parrot caged in possibilities and plausibilities. And some of it is sort of true, and a lot of times it's just a simulation of competency. So
in that sense, quite like humans,
I shake my head over all this bougie culture pessimism, but no publishing house would have ever published a text that is based so much on untruths. The displayed mushroom on this page reminds of a clown and tastes best as part of a goulash. And therefore it's called Fliegenpilz. Why don't we turn this game around and you tell an anecdote about ChatGPT? The prompt of the kangaroo does kind of let me calculate for a moment and calibrate. And then I spit out, Sam Altman, the boss of OpenAI, knew a man named Peter, nicknamed Petey. Petey was excited about water sports, and this is why they all called him Jetski Petey. Jetski Petey had an answer to everything, and when he had none, he just made one up. That was easy to him because he was high all the time, high like a kite, and so making up shit was light. Petey was hooked up to a USB-C cable while he was in the hospital, and Sam Altman now made this accessible to everyone in the world, and this is how we now have all the responses that OpenAI gives out. And I mean, I'm allowed to make up two things out of five, right? So when Sam Altman was working on OpenAI, he got scorbut, which is a sailor's disease, because he ate too many noodle soups or only noodle soups while developing. Is that true? It sounds plausible, right? It's also true. The rules of the future are being made by a dude that didn't even manage to give himself proper nutrition.
But no worries,
I say with the voice of the kangaroo. Sam is pretty sure that AI will solve all of humanity's problems.
Unfortunately, the humans are the biggest problems of humanity.
Oh, bad luck.
Was machen wir jetzt eigentlich auf dem Mars?
What do we do now on Mars?
Hast du etwa keine Agenda auf dem Mars?
Don't you have an agenda on Mars?
Not really.
I have to admit my plan ends here. What do you want to do?
Just be on Mars.
I get it.
I'm angry because I had a brilliant plan,
but those worry awards from my colleagues made impossible.
And that's why I suggest we build a roller coaster on Mars.
A brilliant idea, Herr Musk, Herr Dusk, but is it the best idea for our resources and your time?
But yeah, like she says, genius, maybe later. Well, it could be technically difficult. Well, then we don't.
Hat eigentlich jemand Interesse an meinem Sperma?
Someone interested in my sperm?
At this point, if you don't know, he actually did that. If you don't know it, this panel is weird.
Wenn man es weiß, ist es eigentlich noch komisch.
If you know it, it's even weirder actually, but you know.
Denkt ihr wenigstens nicht, ich bin.
But you don't think I am the perverted one.
Ehrlich gesagt.
Honestly.
Ehrlich gesagt, hatte ich gedacht, es würde mehr Spaß machen auf dem Mars.
It would be more fun to be on Mars.
Unglück, wenn wir nicht so viel Geld hätten, dann hätten wir nicht zum Mars fliegen müssen.
If we didn't have as much money, we didn't have to go to Mars, we could play something. I need a sheep.
Ich biete ein Getreide für ein Schaf.
I offer one corn for one Mars. I want 15 corn for one sheep. Somehow, this game was more fun with my employees. Can someone give me two sheep? Of course it has. I can give you three. Is someone interested in my sperm? No, but thanks. I have a better idea what we could play.
Palim, palim.
Palim, palim. And this is about a German sketch, comedy sketch. Hello, what can you do? Want? I would like astronaut food. People who bought astronaut food also bought astronaut bars. No fun anymore. Oh, I miss my old job.
Ist noch ein älterer.
Here's another old one. There is a big petition addressed to me. The people want that I buy and eat the Mona Lisa.
Mach doch.
Do it.
Also ich könnte, wenn ich wollte.
I could if I wanted.
Wenn du es nicht machst, mach ich's.
If you don't, I will.
Nein, ich mach.
No, I will.
Ding dong.
Ding dong.
Möchtest du ein Stück?
Do you want a piece?
Du bist auf dem Mars.
You're on Mars. But do you think that you have to eat the Mona Lisa? You can't just eat the Mona Lisa only because people want ask you to in a petition. If you do all the crazy stuff, there's no stopping it. What if they want enough money for their work and on and proper workplaces? Would you do that? Yeah, you're right. I should send it back.
Müsste sie nicht lächeln?
Shouldn't it smile? Shouldn't she smile? She looks a bit chewed out.
Okay, jetzt kommt die letzte Geschichte.
Okay, now this is the last story. Yeah, I know. But... it's always a lot fun to make fun of these assholes, but maybe you can do more. So, the last story is called Well Done. If we do... so, there is the distance to morals
of the Weltfußballverbandes problematisch.
So if you don't like the morals of FIFA,
ist man dann in der
Anti-FIFA? Are you then in the anti-FIFA?
Ist man dann?
Are you then?
Mein Handy vibriert.
My phone rings.
Natürlich unterbreche ich.
Of course, I immediately skip out of my thoughts most brutally to read immediately the most likely unnecessary message, but I'm surprised. We need to split up, the kangaroo wrote. What? I ask eloquently.
Next, I get a video. You were so clear, focused and fast, the kangaroo says into the camera. I like that about you. But then I noticed that you really note down everything I'm doing, everything I'm watching, how long I watch it, and that you're reading my emails. That's super creepy. You're a total stalker and try to surveil me, and it doesn't feel great. And what for? So you can tell around what I like and what I don't like? I don't like that anymore. We have to split up. The kangaroo comes into the living room. Understand? I say. I call it the video Goodbye Google. Ah, right.
I'm nodding.
I have to confess that I shortly thought you were talking about me. About you? Well, about noting everything and telling everyone. But wait, were you clear, focused, and fast?
Zugegeben, sage ich.
Well, actually, yeah. But what is a video good for? The video is part of the dit, or in German, the dude. What? Well, okay. So half of the world turns into a digital colony of the USA, and now when more than half of Americans are happily jumping down the waterfall to fascism, the question is if maybe under certain circumstances it cause problems. For example, Trump has done sanctions against the International Court of Justice, and so the head judge does not have access to email anymore, and all the technology doesn't work anymore. Yeah, the more US tech is used, the worse off the world is. They are blackmailable. Yeah, and so we should maybe replace big tech, and they are so big tech is blackmailing everything and take out a lot of money out of the economy and not even paying taxes, but hopefully there's a but, and the kangaroo jumps up to the living room table, raises his fist and says, we will not go down silently in the night, we will not go down without fighting today, we are fighting, we are celebrating together our Digital Independence Day. Say what? The marsupial jumps down from the table. On every first Sunday in the month, there is the Digital Independence Day. Or in German, the dude. Is that how it is? Not yet. But it could be soon. And what happens at the dit? Well, on the dit, you take time to change this one thing that you already know for a long time that you really should do. There is just a moment missing when to do it. So go away from X to Mastodon, away from WhatsApp to Signal or three more, away from Google to Ecosia, or maybe look into a German Mediathek and go away from Prime, or go to a local bookstore away from Prime, or just any other old German names, because in Germany a lot of Amazon competitors have old German names as their branding. The target is to be less blackmailable by big tech, less surveillance capitalism, but yeah, no panic. It's not supposed to be a cult. It's not about a digital cleanliness. It's more like education. Don't argue with people, just positive reinforcement. But I noticed that you have accounts on all relevant social media.
Yeah, but also because,
yeah, you think that they cannot be left over to the right-wing fighters. I understand, and there are reasons to have so familial or business reasons, and if you cannot... you have to have an account. I can tell you plus one.
What?
Well, you can always add an alternative. Just post everything on the Fediverse, on Mastodon. And if someone does not want big tech anymore, they can find a home there.
But
yeah, I know that technically, like in climate change, we cannot just change individual behavior, but also have to change the big political systems or not. But for that, we need public pressure. And the DIT would be a monthly digital demonstration or protest for more digital independence, a repeating moment to talk about this. And it's also more fun if you can turn your back on the broligas together. So you're rebelling together. The kangaroo nods against the state of the business. And it's also nice to be relaxed so people are not overwhelmed. We could even have changing parties where people can meet up in real. Yeah, crazy story, I know. But there's a legend that people until the cable age did that, especially Sundays in the morning.
Even the church thought nobody has anything to do at that time of the day. You could have events at the club and you call it independence. Why not? Well, every first Sunday of the month, you should switch one of your accounts. And to make this more fun, you could post fun breakup videos or memes. And of course, you can even brag about it. Hashtag did it.
Oder hashtag dude gemacht.
Or hashtag dude did well. Dude did. I'm in.
Vielen Dank.
Thank you very much.
Linus Neumann.
Linus Neumann.
Na, Linus.
So, Linus.
Ja.
All right. Well, we thought we'd try this with the DID.
Ja, wir haben festgestellt, der DID oder der Dude.
We thought the DID or the Dude is not really a free service offered by a billionaire, so that obviously makes it a little bit more difficult to spread it. But where we don't have four free services spread by billionaires, the Chaos Computer Club can step in and you know, for example.
So
this change is not always easy, you know. You want to take your social contacts, you want to ask yourself, do we want to transfer the class? Is this a bug or a feature, like your homeroom class, the parental group from kindergarten? How can we find the podcasts outside of Spotify? And how do we find the podcasts that are not even on Spotify? That's hard. It's tough. You're speaking from experience. You haven't even found mine one yet. That was going to be your first hit, isn't it? All right, so we're going to try this, like serious, directly. On the 4th of January, we have the first DID, the first Digital Independence Day. All right. Come up on stage.
Und die Leute, die
and the people that are entering this for the first time and are always there to help everyone else, don't really fit on stage. So today, a big round of applause for all of those people that have said that they will join, they will help people on site, how they can switch. A big round of applause.
Willst du das Selfie machen?
You want to take the selfie? All right, so my idea is it would be so much cooler if we could give you a round of applause because all of you are gonna join in and this is how we're gonna like sort of force you to do this. Obviously, like very friendly forcing.
Genau.
All right. Exactly. So, you don't have to do all the things. There is a diverse part of organizations that are like have joined. You can check di.day. So there's sort of like change recipes. You can it's quite cute. You can like make cookies. There's going to be like steps on like levels of difficulty, how long the baking is going to take. Who's recognizing this? Oh, yes, Mastodon. All right, what's the quiz? What's this? What's this cake? Blue Sky. No, it's Signal, exactly. What's this? This is obviously switching your email provider. It's a very good baking recipe. We have Ecosia. We have, I like this one too. Firefox. Look into the soup. Check out di.day. Spread the word. Contribute. The most important thing isn't that you switch and change, but that you brag about it. You've got to brag about it. We want to spread the word. They should not do this in silence. Once a month, all of you, it's not asking a lot. You know, I feel like the Federal Republic of Germany, like it's sort of like a deer in the headlight. Like for right in front of a truck with like car tariffs, and like we can forget about them doing something. We have to lead by example. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for all of you to contribute to this. See you all soon. Oh, we're doing another one. We're doing one more. All right.
Vielen, vielen Dank.
Thank you so much. All right, we're going to take a bow all together. All right, so how are we going to do this? So you ask for consent. Is it okay for me to take your hand? Consent is given. All right. 1, 2, 3, we take a bow. All right, and once again, and thank you also so much for listening in to our live translation of the Kangaroo Rebellion Digital Independence Day that was translated for you by...
B.
And now it is a good time to introduce Claire Daly. It is not necessary because everybody in this house already knows Claire Daly. She is from Ireland, a campaigner, activist, trade unionist who served as a local councillor from 2000 and then as a national MEP in Ireland from 2010. And she already had a formidable reputation of an opposition legislator, winning many policy victories and taking the Irish government to account. During COVID and during the past tenure in Parliament, you held European bureaucracy to account with a great success. And I hope you will tell us more about the nice or less nice things which happen here in Europe. Thank you, Claire.
Well, thanks very much. I suppose first and foremost to everybody for being here, some old faces, some new, but a special thanks to Andre for organizing and for Phidias for being here, because we meet at a very dangerous juncture in world history when very few people at European leadership level, either in member states or here in these European Union bodies, understand the scale of the repression which is undermined and ongoing at the moment, let alone are prepared to do anything about it. So we are extremely grateful to Andre for organizing this event, and we're very lucky that he is here. And
yes, let's give it up for Andre.
in this building a couple of weeks ago, downstairs, the Irish Commissioner, the main man, Michael McGrath is his name, he's responsible for rule of law in the European Union, and he addressed the plenary session of the European Parliament. And he told MEPs on that day that democracy is the founding value of the European Union, together with respect for rule of law and fundamental rights. He told them that freedom of expression, freedom of assembly and association, and the right to participate in democratic life are enshrined in EU treaties, the Charter of Fundamental Rights of the European Union, EU legislation, and common constitutional traditions of member states. And he then went on and told them that citizens should be able to form their own opinions in a public space where there is access to reliable information from a plurality of sources with different views which can be expressed, where political discussions can be confronted, and where it's possible to disagree with one another. Powerful stuff indeed. Who in hell would disagree with that? But it's so brazenly out of touch with reality that I think many people would have found themselves scratching their head and going, where is this utopia that he's talking about? And none more so than myself and my colleague, former MEP Mick Wallace, who's also here today, who know the Commissioner well. And we knew him from our time in the Irish Parliament, and he never stood out then as a crusader for democracy. In fact, he was a member of successive governments which were entirely actually undemocratic in their nature. And his newfound interest in democracy actually was, you know, kind of particularly uncharacteristic until you looked at the title of the debate that he was introducing, and it was called The Hungarian Government's Drift to Russian-Style Repression, Legislative Threats to Freedom of Expression and Democratic Participation. In other words, in layman's terms, this is the ongoing standoff between the centrist parties which have ruled Europe for decades now, who call themselves liberal, and the so-called illiberal regimes, on the other hand, led by Hungary's President Viktor Orban. And then McGrath's words make sense, because the real reason why the EU leadership stands so staunchly in defending free speech in Hungary is that it's speech that they agree with. And it's an entirely different matter if you have speech which they don't agree with. And that is the context of the European Union's disinformation policy. It's the fundamental point that people have to understand. It has nothing to do with democracy. It's a tactic that they use for people they don't like. And first and foremost, and most importantly, it is to clamp down on dissent, on those who would have the audacity to challenge those people who are in power. And so we have this fable of the EU's official platform for its disinformation obsession, that our democracies are under attack from malign foreign actors who want to spread disinformation, to undermine our societies and our governments, to influence our elections, to put us all against each other and break down our unity. And to stand up to this terrible threat, we have to defend our democracy by cracking down on disinformation and promoting unity in the European Union. It's absolute and utter nonsense from start to finish. Of course foreign interference exists. Of course states have the right to defend themselves from outside influence seeking to undermine them for the benefit of themselves. But Russian bots didn't sway European elections. Their outcomes were very firmly determined by domestic matters. Look, we all know that all states do propaganda. But what I found when I was a member of the INGA committee, which was the Committee on Foreign Interference in All Democratic Processes in the European Union, including disinformation, which I was the coordinator on the left group for 3 very long years, I can tell you. But from my experience on that committee, The problem wasn't propaganda that actually came from external sources or foreign governments. The problem was narratives domestically that they didn't agree with. And I suppose I have to be honest now and confess at this stage that I would say that, wouldn't I? Because I'm actually a Russian propagandist, believe it or not, according to a Ukrainian hit list or whatever. And the two reasons why I'm a Russian propagandist is I said two things. One, that the war in Ukraine was a NATO proxy war. And the second, that the people of Europe were suffering more than the Russian economy from the sanctions that Europe had imposed on Russia. Now, I happen to stand over both of those things still. But rather than engage with me on the content of those issues, on the fact that Stoltenberg came in here and told us that NATO provoked the war, on the pauperizing reality for European citizens crushed under the cost of living issue, rather than discussing those issues with me and taking responsibility as the European leaders who brought them in, it's much easier to smear me as a Russian agent or a Russian propagandist. And that is what the European Union's disinformation policy is designed to do, to silence anyone who questions their narrative, the official narrative. And to do that, they even have a toolkit to whip us into line, to suppress certain kinds of speech and to manage the kinds of information that are allowed to circulate in our society. So if you question their COVID policy, you're an anti-vaxxer. If you criticise Israel's genocide, you're anti-Semitic. And if you argue for peace in the war in Ukraine, well, then you're a Kremlin stooge or something like that. That's basically what's going on here. And how the European Union is going to deal with that disinformation comes under the defence of democracy package, they used to call it when I was here. I mean, did you ever? Like, it's just pathetic. It's even been rebranded worse now. It's the European Democracy Shield. I mean, where do these people get off? And the committee is even called the European Democracy Shield Committee. And you literally could not make this stuff up. And the whole basis of it is that ideas are now dangerous and they pose a fundamental threat to our democracy, allegedly. The public sphere, the media, social media, where our society learns about itself and public opinion is shaped, this is now a battleground. Words and ideas are weapons. And the European liberals are here to save us from that, to defend us from these outrageous attacks. And let's be honest about it. Despite the fact that this has accelerated massively since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, there has always been a program of repression by the European political establishment. And up until now, the toolkit has been kind of a soft form of repression, really. They had a number of tactics. You can read about them in the Inga report, which is the report of the old committee that I was on. But the approach at that time was kind of to do stuff like drown out dissenting narratives with propaganda in support of the official EU narrative. Now, when we do it, it's not propaganda, of course. It's called strategic communications because we're the good guys. But that was what they used to do there. Then they sought to co-opt social media platforms to de-rank narratives they don't like, and then they've pumped funding into these so-called fact-checking organisations to police online discourse. Now, we warned about this. They even toyed with the idea of making contradicting governments a crime. Did you ever? They had to back away from that one because that would be even a little bit too far to go, and you'd have to bring in legislation and a court case to deal with that. And this is where the European Union's 17th set of sanctions comes into play. Because what you have here is sanctions targeting disinformation, hybrid sanctions, they call them. The first package was in December. We've had two more since then. And our great High Representative lauded these sanctions under the guise when she said, and she sternly vowed, that those who enable Russia face severe consequences. So the EU foreign ministers brought in a list of sanctions on 21 individuals and six entities who were responsible for hybrid activity, including disinformation. Now, what was this disinformation and who were these people? Well, this is where it gets interesting, because this is Russian disinformation. Now, a few of them were actually Russians, but there was also a German blogger, an EU citizen who was sanctioned, and there was a Turkish citizen who was a valid EU resident who was also sanctioned. He lives in Germany. And let's look at this case for a minute, and I hope I'm not labouring it, but we have time here, and we have to use it to really spell out what is going on in this so-called European Union of democracy in action as we took our pictures outside this sign outside of here. Because in that case, we have a person who's been subjected to an asset freeze and a travel ban on the basis that he was systematically spreading information, which the EU said was false. Now, we don't know what that information was because nobody got to see it. But they said he disseminated the narratives of Hamas. But again, what narratives say were, we don't know. They said he created discord, and that he provided pro-Palestinian protesters, who are described as anti-Israel rioters, with an exclusive media platform. Now, think about this. This sounds like the type of action